her full testimony one time about how it's the word of God in her heart that means she's sitting there today and not dead.
Amen.
That's fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm itching to preach. Not so much preaching today. It's a bit of my vision, a bit of testimony, a bit of teaching. I'm trying to wrap up in 50 minutes what I learned last week. It's not going to happen, is it, Evelyn? No, I'm not sure. Let's pray. Let's pray first. Lord, thank you for this morning already. Thank you that you are such a good God. You are such a wonderful God. Thank you that you have provided everything for us and you want us to have it all. And it is there for us as a gift of grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Seeing that cheers this morning, it reminded me that Jesus' work is finished and he is sitting down. Hallelujah. So we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he's done for us. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit bringing us revelation of that word, bringing back to remembrance all things. So I thank you now. It's time to look at the word. I thank you that these are the seeds that we sow into people's hearts. I thank you that we're sowing these into our hearts this morning. And I pray for understanding in the mighty name of Jesus that that seed is not stolen away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a little quickie aside. I was reading about Stephen last week. And we keep going about Jesus being seated. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is seated because his work is finished. You know when Jesus is going to stand? To welcome you in. Because he did it for Stephen. He is no respecter of persons. He will welcome you in. He will stand for you. And he'll stand for me. Awesome. That's good. Right. Yes. What am I going to do today? Hallelujah. So, back from conference. Yes. You probably tell I'm a wee bit hyper. Kind of get like that when I get. It shouldn't be like that, actually. We should be like that all the time. But feeling really excited. Back from conference. Had an awesome time of teaching. Awesome time of fellowship. We listened to some amazing teaching going down in the car. A lot of our questions were answered by the time we got to conference. A lot of things had been confirmed by the time we got to conference. And then we got there and Bob Yandian opened his mouth. Oh, what a Bible teacher that man is. So with Dwayne Sheriff on the way down, awesome teaching. Bob Yandian, awesome teaching. Andrew Womack said a few things as well. So we had some great teachers, great times of fellowship, amazing worship. Charlie and Jill send their greetings. John Maunder sends his greetings for those that know John. John and Susan Donnelly send their greetings for those of you that know them. So, great time of fellowship. What I would class as my fathers in the faith. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning as well. And the Lord was speaking to us all the way down about our vision, about the church, about what we're doing. Because, you know, sometimes even folk like myself and Nancy think, are we doing the right thing? So today's a mix of vision, testimony, and teaching. And one thing that we heard this week was that if you're a pastor or a teacher, you need to teach out of the overflow of your heart what you've been taught. And I kind of have that as one of my drivers anyway. You can only teach what you've been taught. But that was confirmed to me this week. So I'm going to try and bring to you what I got over the last week. And I'm really having to summarize it and cut it down. And I'm going to be using scripture. So let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 11. It'll come as no surprise to those that have been with us for a while. If I stand up the front and say, I'm going to speak about my vision. I'm going to speak about my mission. I'm going to speak about my job. It should be no surprise when I turn to Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Because that's been my passage of Scripture about my mission, about my vision for a long time. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and here's for me, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. No excuses, I'm starting with this verse. Whenever I look at my mission, my vision, this is the verse I go to. I've always told you I'm a pastor and teacher. And why? Or what's the purpose for that? The purpose for that is for me to equip you so that you can go and do the work of the ministry. I've always said that. Bob Yandian gave some awesome teaching on the local church this last week. And Evelyn's getting the teaching, and it can be copied and distributed. And we are the local church. This verse is about the local church. This verse is about the way we interact, or the way for Christians to interact. The way to grow, to move from children to grow up. Do you see that in that verse? He's talking about children, and he's talking about growing up so you don't get tossed to and fro when this liar comes in and that liar comes in and this false teaching comes and this new doctrine comes in. Oh, this new way of things doing it. Let's try this new way. That's what children do. This verse is talking about you guys. Us, because I'm part of the fellowship as well. I'm part of the local church. But it is specifically talking about you guys taking teaching and equipping and growing up. What are you saying? We're like children, Vic? No, the Bible is. And you need to grow up. You need to get more mature. We grow through the teaching of the Word of God. And that's another confirmation I got this week. I am a pastor, I am a teacher, and my job is to teach you the Word of God and to do it to the best of my ability and to do it with excellence and to get better and better and better. Yes, I had it confirmed. I am to teach, then teach, then teach, and then teach again. That's what our ministry is. Myself and Nunzi, it's to teach, 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 and teach. And yes, you can play the piano and sing as well, thank goodness. Hallelujah. But we're teachers, pastors. And guess what we're confirmed to teach? The Word of God. It is the way to change. If you know the truth will make you free. And where do you find the truth? In the Word of God. You are transformed through the renewing of your mind. By renewing it to what? To the truths in the Word of God. It is knowledge of Jesus that leads to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3 says that. Where do we get knowledge about Jesus? In the Word of God. If we have the Word of God in our mind night and day, that leads to blessings and peace. It's the start of Psalms. It all goes back to the Word of God. Are you going on about that again, Vic? Yes. Your train of thought at this exact moment, remember what that is. because we're going to talk about different types of ground later on. If it's, oh no, not the word again. I'll tell you what type of ground you are. If it's hallelujah, the word of God again, that's the type of ground as well, and I'll tell you about that. We are here, when I say we, specifically, I'm meaning me and Nunzi, okay? We are here to teach you the word of God for you to do the work of the ministry. That's not like me, but I'm going to be quite brutal here. Maybe it is like me. Brutally honest here. And it's another revelation that I had this week. I like to think I stand up for what I believe. I am definitely going to do that from now on. And I am going to teach you what is the truth, even if you don't like it. So listen very carefully to this bit. This is me starting to be brutally honest. I will, as a believer, evangelize. But I am not an evangelist, and I will not organize evangelistic events for you to evangelize. Do you hear that? I will evangelize. But I'm a pastor and a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. So I'll not be organizing evangelistic events for us to go out there and do it. I will tell people about Jesus in my job as a believer. But I'm not going to organize things for you to do it. That's for you to do. That's the work of the ministry. My job is to equip you so that you can do it. I will and do lay hands on people. Because I'm a believer, and I can heal people through the power of Jesus. But I haven't got a healing ministry. Some of you may have. That may be your ministry. My job, my role, my thing is to equip the saints as a pastor and teacher. So, when you come up to me and say, Vic, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? I'm going to come back and say, what do you need me to teach you so that you can go and do it? Because God's obviously put that on your heart. So you need to do it. You kind of see where I'm coming from here? I'm going to start turning things round and putting the responsibility for going out there back on you. When you ask me, what are we going to do? What are we doing to go and reach this people? What are we doing to go and get them? What are we doing? No, I'm going to say, what are you doing? Because that's your job. Not mine. As a pastor and teacher. It is my job to do it. If one of the players comes up to me in the Forest Mechanics bus and says, Vic, what do you believe in? I will evangelize to that player till the cows come home. Yeah, he'll probably come back to me on the bus next week. But you never know, I planted a seed. Amen. I will evangelize, but I'm not an evangelist. I will heal, but I'm not a healer. I've not got a healing ministry. It's what I'm trying to say. Now, listen carefully here. This is not me copping out. Because I don't like to speak to people out there. I don't like to do the evangelism bit. I don't like to do the healing bit. This is not me copping out. What I am saying is, if there's something God has put on your heart to do, you should be doing it, and you should be getting me to equip you to do it. So what am I not doing that means you're not equipped enough? What other teaching do you need? What coaching do you need? What equipping do you need to go out and do that stuff? And I will give it to you, or I'll try to, because that's my job. That's my role, that's my vision, that's my mission. It is not a cop-out. But you know what, guys, when you come to me and ask, what are you going to do about that, Vic? You're the ones that are copping out. You're the ones that are not taking responsibility. by asking your pastor, what are you going to do about it? Because that's your job. Is that brutal and honest enough? I don't need to sugarcoat it a little bit and put it in a different way. I'm not copping out. I will evangelize. I will tell people about Jesus. But that is my job as a believer. My ministry as a pastor and teacher is to equip you. And that is what I am going to focus on. I am going to focus on that. You know, you see lots of pastors get involved in different stuff. You didn't see me getting involved in any of this, do you? That is definitely not my job. That is yours, the day boy. That's not my job. My job is to prepare and study to teach you lot. Not a cop-out. I've had a number of people say to me lately, Vic, your preaching's at a new level. The teaching's at a different level. That message was great. You know, Vic, see, since you left work, your preaching's getting better and better. Yeah, that's because I've had time now to prepare better and better. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to commit to it right now. You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. In terms of my teaching and my preaching. I'm going to go on to level after level after level after level. And that's not arrogance, that's the truth. Look with me at 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If I want to teach, I need to study. Would you agree with that? If you want to teach something, you need to study it. You need to know it yourself. You teach from what you know. You teach from what you've been taught. And I've come back for conference. I want to teach, and teach more. I want to have more meetings. I want to make more resources. Write more digs. Visit people. Visit fellowships. Teach in different places. I have one specific that I am seeing right now. I'm not going to tell everybody about it yet because it's gestating at the moment. But there is one way of teaching, a new way of teaching that I can see, and we are going to start doing it in Murray, and it is going to be really successful. But I need to study for that. I need to do it more. I've told you before, I see MGF as a big church. But a big church that's different. A big church with lots of wee churches. I see that. And I am starting to believe it when I see it. I've come back from conference thinking, yes, we are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger in terms of growth for the individuals, but also in terms of numbers. Now, the numbers have been pretty low the last wee while. I can't remember who mentioned it in the car. Somebody said coming down, well, we might be a bit thin on the ground this week. Such and such. I kept my mouth shut. And this is the most we've had in weeks. We need to start seeing this place packed out. We need to see houses packed out. Getting the same message. I don't know how we're going to do it yet. I've got ideas. But I see little churches all over the place with our material, with our teaching, all part of MGF. A big church, but lots of little churches. Because you see, in little churches, you get intimate fellowship, you get discipleship. And I'm not looking to see who's on the back row today, but you don't get to hide in the back row in a little church. I mean, if you're on the back row, you're in the fourth row, or the third row. You know what I mean? When we were at conference this week, there was, I don't know how many rows there were, but whenever we go to conference, I go and sit and hide at the back. You can't do that in a wee church, because even when you're at the back, you're on the fourth row. I can almost touch you. There's no hiding from the pastor in a wee church. And that's not what it's about, but You know, it's about intimacy and fellowship and discipleship and growing together and learning together and being church together. That's why I still haven't had the vision of getting a big building. The way the Lord works with me, I might come tomorrow and say, my vision's changed. We're going to build a huge building and get 10,000 people in here. But he hasn't done that yet. But I see a big church made out of lots of small churches, in homes, in rooms, in pubs, in warehouses. That's what I see. And in order to do that, I need to study, so I'm committing to that. I'll be getting you guys to commit to stuff later. I see Healing Word Ministries as a big ministry. At the moment, I reach hundreds of people every day. You know what, pretty soon? That's going to be thousands. Amen. I see them as thousands, and I'm going to speak it out. Once I see it as thousands, I'm then going to see millions being reached by Healing Word Ministries. Because you know what? You know what everybody loves? Everybody loves a Scotsman. You can't understand. You can't understand him. But you know what? You know what this world needs is a Scotsman preaching grace.
Amen.
And I'm that man. I'm speaking it out. There's already people all over the world listening to us in their hundreds. Soon it's going to be thousands. That is my vision. I am seeing it. But in order to see it, I need to develop. This is what I'm telling you about. I need to develop. In the sense, I need to get better in terms of the way I study and the way I preach and the way I teach. That's going to happen. I need to live out 2 Timothy 2:15. That's another one of my big revelations this week. Study, study, study. So that I can teach, teach, teach. The word, word, word. Am I emphasizing it enough? Hallelujah. Kind of a bit of a personal testimony. I'm at the level of secular work that the Lord put in my heart when I left Diageo last year. I've got about the equivalent of 2 days' work. Now, sometimes that is 2 days. Sometimes it's spread over a whole week. Sometimes it's all week, and then next week I do nothing. But the man hours I'm working in the secular is about 2 days. I am blessed by the work of my hands. The word says that. Yeah? I had people coming to me from my consultancy firm. People coming to me to do whiskey nosings and tastings. I'm just starting to lecture in maths at the college. That kind of takes me up to 2 days. I had a short interview, and I went to them, and I said, well, you know, I've seen your conditions. I can't do it on this night. I can't do it this week. I can't do it that week. I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, that's okay. We'll sort all that, because we want you. When I left Diageo, the Lord said, I will give you work. And he did. I'm blessed by the work of my hands, 2 days a week. But you know, far more important than that, the Lord has blessed me with partners. Which means I don't have to work the other 5 days. Not secular. That the Lord has blessed me with partners so that I can get this, sit in my study and read the word for 8 hours a day. There are people in here and people out there paying for me to do that. How good is that? I am fortunate to have a number of partners. That allows me time to study and think and meditate, sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. So grateful to my partners. You blessed me, but you will be blessed because of this. And I'm blessed by those of you that give in to MGF. Because I get a little salary from MGF as well. Because I'm teaching you the word. You need to pay for it. I got that revelation last year as well, remember? I am just so blessed. So grateful. And to my partners, to the folk at MGF, to, you know, other people who don't partner, other people who do listen but don't partner, I commit to study diligently to study the Word for you guys so that I can teach you to the best of my ability. I want it to get better and better. One of the things we got from Dwayne this week is that a pastor, and other people, but a pastor specifically, should commit to a study plan and commit to it. And say, I'm going to study this next week, and I'm going to study that next week, and I'm going to study. So I'm going to commit to that. I'm getting your elders to do it as well. And I would encourage you to do it. Commit to a study plan. I encourage you all to study. See, I have a vision that sees us teaching thousands. And I want you to be part of that vision. I want you to see it with me. And I've only done this once, and I'm going to do it a second time. I want you to be part of that by being a partner. I encourage you, actively encourage you, to partner with me, with Nunzi, but specifically with me. See, this is the new bold Vic. Because most pastors don't like speaking about money. Because I know already some of you have just turned off and don't want to hear the rest. Because I've asked you for your physical resources. How dare he? How dare he? Let me ask you something. If you had a plumber in your house doing a service, would you consider not paying him? I rest my case. You'll be blessed. See, I want to teach more and more people. I want to travel. I had the opportunity to go to London to preach in three churches. I want to do that so much more. I want to spread myself out and bless so many more people. But I need resources to do that. I need help. Not everybody can go. I've preached on this before. Not everybody can go. But every single one of you can send. You can help me to send me. And that's what my partners are doing already. Amen. Philippians 4, verse 15 and 16, talks about this. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated. That means partner with their physical resources. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. It's talking about partnership, regular help. I would ask you for that. I would recommend, if you don't want to partner with me, I would recommend you partner with other ministries. If you don't want to, you know, it's not everyone I want to sow into my ministry. But you ought to be sowing into it, into ministries. We sow into ministries. As an individual, as a married couple, and as a fellowship. We sow into ministries. You ought to be sowing into ministries that are teaching you. You're sitting here this morning being taught. Da-da. But if you don't feel like sowing into this ministry, sow into another one, because it'll bless you. Because look what Paul says. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Giving not only helps the ministries, but helps you. Giving into my ministry helps me to go to London, helps me to go to the Isle of Man, helps me to go to places, potential places that I've been asked to go to. But it helps you as well. Sowing and reaping. It's a law. But I'm not just asking for your money. I want you to promote me. I want you to tell your friends. I mean, you're all on Facebook, aren't you? Yep. How many folk have we got contact with because of that? Get them into Healing Word Ministries. Get them listening to MGF. Get them looking at my digs every day. Let's start spreading the word. Get involved in this ministry and play an active part. And pray for us. And see this ministry reaching thousands and then millions. You guys can help us just by sitting at home and meditating, watching me preaching at the O2. Hallelujah. See, one day, it's going to be, oh, you know, just now it's, we're like, oh, Joseph Prince is coming over. He's at the O2. Well, who? It's like, oh, Andrew Womack's back. Need to get down to Telford. Grace and Faith. I want to do that. I see myself doing that. Preaching to thousands. Saying, oh, you're only preaching to 30 odd, or an odd 30. You're only preaching to 30 odd. You've got to start somewhere, boy. And I've been faithful in this. We were talking about that. You know, week in, week out. You know what, guys? This will surprise you. You know, some Sundays, I don't feel like coming. Don't judge me like that, because you feel exactly the same. Faithful, faithful, faithful. I had one person say to me one week, how do you commit to doing your meeting every week? I said, I commit to doing it every week. There's the answer. There's no strange magic. I can't show you anything. Well, I probably could show you something in the Bible about being diligent, about being faithful. Help me spread the word, people, please. Get our material. See, all that material up there is free, isn't it? Apart from a few things. Grab it, give it away. Let's get it out. I want to give away so much material that those CDs don't grow on trees. Do you know that? We have to pay for those CDs. Get involved in the ministry so we can produce hundreds. We've probably given away into the, I don't know, thousands now. Dave would probably be able to answer the question because he orders them. Let's give away more and more and more. Okay, so I'm here to teach you. But another revelation I had, and this might sound stupid because I'm the pastor. I'm here to pastor you. Bit of a revelation about that last week. But a bit of an extension. Look at 2 Timothy. You might think I'm jumping around a bit. I'm trying to cram everything in. The important stuff that I learned this week. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul writing to Timothy, a pastor. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'm here to teach you so that you can teach others. But here's the extension that the Lord spoke to me through a dear sister who I just met at the bookstall, saying, you need to be a father to your church. Not just a pastor, but a father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Because it's not easy being a father sometimes. We make things quite difficult for our dads sometimes. Yeah, I can see both sides. It's not easy. But remember, when I read that in Ephesians, it was talking about children who had to grow up and mature. It's the job of a father to help them to do that, isn't it? We don't have kids and then leave them and say, come back when you're 18, you buy me a pint. No, we don't say that. You know, we help them right into their 20s. No, we're stopping at 30. That's what he thinks, yeah. My job, this extension that I've seen this week, is I want to be a father for you guys. I want to be a father figure. I want to be able to help you. And actually, my job is to father you. But listen to this. Only to those of you that continue to hear me. If you don't continue to hear me, I can't do that. I want to pastor you. I want to be a spiritual father to you. But you have got to let me and you have got to want me. If you don't, there's no point. It's not going to work. We're going to look at some scripture in a little minute that says probably, roughly, about one in four of you sitting in here right now will let me do that. One in four. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Just looking to see how many kids I've got. Seven. See, maths lecture. Seven. Hallelujah. Seven. I want more than that. See, three out of the four are probably not listening or continuing to listen. We'll look at that in a minute. But there's a responsibility on you here. You might say, yep, Vic, I get that. I do, I get that. I love your teaching. I like coming to NGF. Yes, I accept you as that. Father, you're the one for me. Well, you need to do what I tell you when I give you advice. You need to listen to me when I give you the hard truth. You need to take on board when you come and say, Daddy Vic. Well, let's not go there. Okay. Not even Pastor Vic. Vic, I need advice in this area. Blah, 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 blah. And I pray about it and I meditate on it. I look in Scripture and I come back to you and I say, okay, here's the way it is. There might be times when you have to say, well, I don't agree with that. But, you know what? I've recognized you're further along the road than me. I recognize you're a spiritual father. I'm going to go with that. I suppose I used to take my dad's advice and throw it away as well, but we can all do that. But, you know, if you're saying, yeah, I get that principle, Vic. I see that from the scripture here, that Timothy wasn't actually Paul's physical son. He calls Titus it as well. He calls Titus his son in the faith. That's what I'm talking about here. Son in the faith, father in the faith. I spoke to a few guys down there this week, and they are like my fathers in the faith. And I listen to them, take their counsel, phone them up one night and got a real earful. Not really wanting the message that I was phoning them up. I wanted a there, Vic message. He kicked my backside from here to kingdom come. But you know, that's what dads do sometimes. And you know what? It was great advice. But sometimes our dads tell us things that we don't like. It's not an order that you need to take my advice, but if you come to me with an issue and we're doing this pastor fellowship, spiritual father, spiritual son bit, at least take the advice with a bit of credibility and give it a bit of thought. Yeah? For the one in four of you that might actually consider doing it. Now here's a difficult bit. I'm here to teach. I'm here to pastor. I am here to father. But the big revelation, another big revelation I got this week, I am here to be an example of. That's really the one I didn't want to hear. Now, I'd rather it was do as I say rather than do what I do. But the kind of the Lord was saying, no. Part of your job, part of your vision, part of your mission is to be an example. And that's a challenge. It's quite hard to explain because as I was thinking how to explain it, it just didn't sound right. I don't want to come across as arrogant. And listen very carefully and I'll try and justify it. And I've got scriptures to back this up. I believe I am here for you to follow. Now, I'm not going to ask you to sell all your houses so we can get the money and buy a big ranch somewhere and start having guns and things, okay? I'm not saying this in the context of a cult, all right? But look at 2 Thessalonians 3. Paul writing again. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6-9. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labour and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Paul is saying, you should be able to look at what I'm doing, what we're doing as apostles, and you should be able to follow that in the local church. It's like, I'm here for you to follow, as in a sense of, to be an example of, to be a leader. To me, it's like being a father figure again. I shouldn't teach you anything that I don't believe. I shouldn't be asking you to do anything that I'm not doing myself. And if I do, you need to tell me. You're telling me to do this thing. I never see you doing that. It's a perfectly legit, maybe not with that tone of voice. Because the word does say don't rebuke an elder. But you can come up to me and say, can I speak to you something about, you know, I saw you doing this last week. Does that really tie up with what you're teaching us and asking us to do? I'm a bit confused. Perfectly entitled to do that. Especially if I'm standing up here and saying, the revelation I got this week is to start doing that a bit more. Man, there is so much more to being a pastor and teacher than just teaching. I shouldn't be asking you to study anything that I've not studied myself. I shouldn't be teaching you what I don't know. I should be teaching you out of the overflow of my heart. That is what I mean when to lead you, for you to follow. It's not, oh, Pastor Vic says this, he's my leader, I'm going to do what, you know, follow him and do it. It's not like that. This is not a power thing. You know what? If you go into most organizations and they show you a management structure, you will have the boss at the top, then you have had his leadership team, then you'll have middle management, and then you'll have the workers in a triangle. Have you all seen that? The management structure in an organization. Church, that is inverted. That is inverted. You know what, guys? I'm right at the bottom. I am right at the bottom of the heap in this church. But I'm still there to be followed and lead. Because I am right at the bottom. And then above me, I'm helping the leadership team, the elders. And then above that are the rest of you guys. I am there to support them and support you. They are there to support you. Help you, assist you, teach you, equip you. That's what we are here for. And we are at the bottom of the heap. Servants. But I can still be a father and tell you, if you will listen to me, when your behavior is not appropriate. Done that a few times, you guys. You know, that is what the role of a father is, of a pastor. It is sometimes to say the difficult things. I'm trying to teach you here. You know, and I'll probably not do it in this tone of voice, but what part of that lesson did you understand? That thing you were doing last week. Sorry, what part of no do you not get? That's what, you know, I probably won't do it like that. But this has got to be a relationship. Relationship. Mutual respect, mutual trust. So in that sense, I'm asking you to follow me. I've stood up and told you I'm going to commit to doing a personal study plan. I would suggest you follow me in that. Have a personal study plan. That's it, Stu. You write it down. Good man. And it's not for me to say, this week we're going to do this, 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 and this. It is a personal study plan. That means personal. I'm not even getting into the Greek there. I don't know what it is. Okay. Whew. That's taking longer than I thought. That's enough about me. What about you? What's your role in this? We also had amazing, and I mean amazing. If you saw my dig from a few days ago, you will see that I wrote that it was the best teaching I have ever heard in my life. Bible teaching from Bob Yandian on the parable of the sower. Opened it up like, I thought I knew the parable of the sower. And he said, yeah, you know, it's about the local church. I went, is that? And if I'd studied my notes, I would have known that, but it just was somebody to say it. And it was a minister's conference. And you know, pastors, you're the sowers. This parable's about you. You're the sowers. And it's about the local church. And the four types of ground, pastors, sit in front of you every Sunday morning. All right. So let's look at Mark 4:13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. I'm the sower. I'm the pastor. I come in here every Sunday and I throw the seeds out. Scatter the seeds. The word of God. Where do these seed go? Well, there's four different types. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entereth in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set in a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but it should come abroad. And if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Passage I've used many times. We know the seed is the word of God. And I kind of knew it, because it's preaching the word. But this is a picture of the local church. When Jesus is speaking about the sower, he's speaking about me. Who's Jesus speaking about when he's speaking about the different types of ground? You. That's it. This is a passage about our relationship. My relationship with every single one of you, in terms of teaching the word, is described here. When I preach the word, you are one of these four. What Bob says is, he's been a pastor for, 40 years or something? 30, 40 years, however much. And he knows every time he sows in his church, he has got those four types of ground. So this is about our relationship with regards to the word, with regards to teaching and preaching. How you receive my teaching, my preaching. What I'm doing now is sowing seeds. It's coming to you and you are receiving it in one of four ways. And what I used to think was, well, you know, the guys have come to church. They're bound to be the fourth one. They're bound to want to hear it and receive it and take it away with them. They're sitting here. Bob's saying, no. No, loads of different reasons folk come to church. They don't all come to church to hear me preach. That's a wee bit of a revelation. I thought you were all here because I'm so fantastic. Just because you're sitting in church doesn't mean you are good ground in the terms of what Jesus is speaking about here, as in terms of receiving what's being sown. You see, there are people in here right now, there's bound to be, there are people in here right now who are just not listening. There are people in here not listening to this. We're saying, well, we're all listening, we're all hearing it. No, no, no. You might be letting the sound waves go into your ears and make electrical signals from your eardrums, which gives you a perception in your brain. You're all doing that, but not all of you are listening. Not all of you are hearing. You're letting it in, but you're not understanding it. You're not hearing it. You know what? You're not prepared to hear. There are people in here that will go out that door, and by 2 o'clock, you'll have forgotten what my message was about. I know you will, because I've done it. Not me preaching, but me listening to somebody else. Oh, wasn't that a great message Vic was going on about Ephesians? What? Was he? Was he talking about Ephesians? Oh, that parable of the sower when Vic, that was brilliant. Parable of the sower? There will be people who go out here not get it. You know why? Because you're not bothered about the word. There are people in church who are not bothered about the word. Lindsay spoke about it last week. Get some gold dust in your Bible, though. I was in a meeting one time. I didn't say it. I couldn't say it because I was a pastor. But a visiting minister, somebody said, I got some gold dust in my Bible. What should I do? The guy said, blow it off and read the word. Now, like Nancy's saying, I'm not against that. But I know there are people, the word doesn't excite them as much as it does me. You need to get to a stage where the word's exciting. Because then you'll start to listen and you'll hear. Remember, if there's anybody sitting here getting condemned just now, I'm not condemning you, the devil is. Or you're condemning yourself. If you're sitting, oh, that's me. Don't get condemned. If you recognize this, you do something about it. There are some in here who just are not listening. Am I going to stop sowing? No. Am I going to try and say, right, I can spot there's more people over there who are not listening than over here. So am I going to, lucky I've better not do it that way around, eh, Michelle? I'll sow kind of over here. No, I'm going to sow to everybody. Because it's the sower's job to sow. It's your job to sort out your heart and receive. I will sow till the cows come home. Anybody that comes through that door, I will sow into. It's up to you what you do with it. So and so and so. There are people in here who'll think, that's a fantastic word, Vic. I love that. Go to work tomorrow morning, all hell breaks loose and you forget it. Oh, Vic said, this prosperity thing, it's not working in my life. Oh, it doesn't work. Look what the enemy's doing to me. Oh, that's it, I'm not having that. There are people, and that's the second type. There are people who will listen and get it and start seeing some fruit in their life and think, I've got it. That's it. I'm sorted. I sussed it. I've got it. I don't need to hear that anymore. Oh, darn it. He's speaking about righteousness again. I've understood that. That's the third ground. I don't need to listen. I've had a bit of success. I've got it. I'm here. That is the dangerous one. If you're at that stage, you're not going to get to the fourth. That's a difficult jump. Man, I've seen a bit of abundance in my life. This works. I don't have to listen to Vic anymore. I've got it. That's it. But you know what? There are people in here, and I know there are people in here, who are going to go home and read their notes. Who are going to go home and look at the scriptures, who are going to go home and listen again tomorrow, who are going to go home and talk to their spouse and their friends about it, who are going to think about the meeting on Thursday night and think what questions they want to ask. There are people in here who will do that. And that is a fourth type of ground, and they will produce fruit, and I can see it. You know, it could be easy to stand up here and you think, right, only one, and it's not one in four, it's one in four of the types of people. You know, there could be a lot of people in ground one, a lot of people in ground four, and a few in two or three, or, you know, it's not a true one in four. But a pastor could get pretty down if they're thinking, there's four different types of people in this church, and I'm sitting here at the moment, only one out of that four is getting it. But hallelujah for that one out of four. And I'm going to preach and preach and preach to them, and I'm going to preach and preach and preach to the other three until they get into that fourth ground or go somewhere else. But if you come and your bottom is on a chair in here on a Sunday morning or in my house on a Thursday night, you will get taught. You will get the seeds thrown at you with excellence. And it's up to you what you want to do with it. Which one are you, friends? I can't see that right now by looking into your eyes, whether you're taking this on board or whether you're wondering when the chicken needs to go in. Or I hope Kate's brought that box of chocolate biscuits that she normally brings. Or, you know what, that's a really exciting word. I'm going to go back and study that again. I'm going to become part of that vision. And I'm going to listen to that teacher. And I'm going to get in there. I can't see that. I'll be brutally honest. I can see some of you in here producing lots of fruit and some of you producing no fruit. I can tell. Not by looking at your eyes, but by looking at fruit. You know what seed somebody's planted by what they've got in their garden, don't you? Yeah. If somebody's got tomatoes in their garden, Eveline, hallelujah, they're probably planted tomatoes. Which ground are you? What are you going to commit to this morning? There's a couple of really key verses in this parable of the sower. Mark 4:9, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then he says in Mark 4:23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Bob spoke about that at conference. Bob loves his Greek, Sean. This, let him hear, is the present indicative active tense. Have I got them right?
Yeah, yeah.
Present linear active. That's the same thing. Present indicative active or present linear active, whichever one of those, it literally means keep on hearing. So if I teach you about righteousness once, you've not got it. You need to keep on hearing about righteousness. If you think you understand everything about forgiveness, you don't. Because you need to keep on hearing about forgiveness. If you felt the love of God once and you think, I've got it, I sussed it, I know about the love of God, you don't. You need to keep on hearing. And that is a choice. If you're sitting there and thinking, well, I know some of the times I forget when I go and I've not been listening to Vic. I know I'm ground one. Well, keep on hearing and you get to ground two. Keep on hearing, you get to ground three. If you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm probably ground three. You know, I've seen a little bit of success. I sometimes think I've got it. I sometimes think, oh, not righteousness again, Vic. Keep on hearing and you'll get into ground four. It is about keeping on hearing. You know what, guys? When we're talking about the Bible and study and teaching, we never get it. It seems to be in Scripture, a Scripture that says you can reach perfection in your body by renewing your mind 100%. Is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? I don't want to speak death, but no, I don't think so. See, if we get this, if we get the Bible 100%, everything in it, 100% renew our mind, we will have 100% health, 100% prosperity, 100% peace, joy, all those things. I would suggest no one has got that. I don't think any of us have got it. I am not standing up in front of you saying, you need to follow me. You need to let me be your father figure. I'm your pastor. You need to let me do this. You know why? Because I've got it. But, oh, believe me, I haven't. But I tell you what, I've got more than I had last month. And I've got more than I had last year. And more than I had 5 years ago. In terms of renewed mind, understanding the word, knowing the word, believing the word. Well, how can you say that, Vic? I said, I can see that because my health has improved and my abundance has improved. My peace has improved. But I'm here. I need to be away over there. But I've come from away over here. Keep on hearing. Keep on hearing. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Truths about righteousness. Truths about forgiveness. Truths about healing. I want more and more of that. You guys should be the same. I do sometimes ask myself, why am I doing this? You may ask, why are you doing this, Vic? Why are you running a church? Why do you want to study during the week? Why do you want to preach week in, week out? Well, firstly, because God told me to do it. That's probably a good idea. If God tells you to do it, you do it. And we learn from it. God tells you to do it. But you know the other reason it keeps me going? Why I do it? Because I believe it. And it works. I believe it. And it works. I see it working in other people's lives. I see it working in my life. When I first heard the message of grace, unconditional love and mercy of Jesus Christ, his finished work, it's all about him and not about us, I was a completely different man. Completely different. I wasn't the nice rounded guy, not rounded, well, yeah, I was. But maybe I wasn't. Not Mr. Nice Guy that you see standing in front of you today. Completely different person. Man driven by the job, driven by a need to achieve in career, more interested in money, better title in the job, youngest site operations manager. Fantastic. Running this place. Youngest person on site. I'm only 30. I'm running this place. Driven by building a pension pot. Developing my share portfolio. Money, money, money. When I left Diageo last year, I didn't know how provision was going to come in. Other than God said he would provide. That was a huge change in my mindset. I was a different man back then compared to what I am now. For the first time in my life, I believed, well, maybe not the first time, but I truly believed that what it says in here about provision and abundance was true. So I'm going to put my trust in it and step out. In the world's eyes, I did something completely stupid. I resigned from a well-paid job into a job where the salary at that point was a big, fat zero. But the Lord said, do it. The Lord said, you could do it. And you know what? As soon as I resigned, the Lord started to download, do this, do that, do the next thing. People came up to me without being asked, said, I want to partner with you. I want to help you. I want to provide for you. One person said, I have been waiting to partner with you. I have just been waiting for you to ask. See, the Lord had put everything there. I got the revelation that the church should be paying for me. So that happened. So I do what he said. I did it. Blessed with my work. And he gives me more through his people who are listening to him, through the partners. See, I do this. I can now stand in front of you and preach and teach prosperity and abundance from his provision because I know it works. I can be an example to you in that area. I know it works. See, I can stand up here now with some credibility. I mean, before, when I was on a Diageo salary, getting a lot of money every month, it's easy to stand up and preach about abundance. And I'm sure there are people sitting out there saying, aye, it's easy for you to preach on that, Vic. I know what you get at Diageo. I don't get that now. The Lord provides for me through the work that he told me to do and through the people that he has put in their hearts to provide for me. I'm saying, I know it works. I teach it because I believe it, I live it, and I know it works. And if it works for me, who is God no respecter of? Persons. If it works for me, it can work for you. I need to teach you that. I know it works. I can preach on healing because I know it works. But I can also tell you I haven't got it fully right. You all know that. I haven't got it 100% right yet. So I'm not standing up here in front of you saying, follow me because I've got it. No, I'm going to get there. In terms of my health, I'm not the same as I was 5 years ago. In terms of abundance, I'm not the same as I was 5 years ago. Why? Because I've renewed my mind, and this works. And I teach it because I believe it. I've had a couple of people say that. I can see when you teach, Vic, that you really believe it. And what is the point in teaching it if folks are sitting out there and think, that guy doesn't believe it. That guy's just putting it on. That guy doesn't got it. Oh, I want to teach you. I want to preach. I want to reach thousands and millions because I know that it is going to change their lives. And I want their lives changed. I can see that knowledge and understanding the word works. I have a testimony to back it up. There are other people in here that have a testimony to back it up. Once I'm finished, speak to Eveline if you want to know how healing works. Listen to her testimony. Eveline is one of the reasons I keep doing this. Now, this is not big-headed. Eveline will tell you, we've spoken about this. If Eveline hadn't heard me preaching the word, she'd be dead. I am having that fruit. That is my fruit, and I'm having it. That is another reason that I do it. Trying to bring this all together. Do you know why Eveline is here today? Because she kept on hearing. She kept on hearing. And in that area of her heart, healing, that lady's got it. She's the first to say, you know, Vic, there's other areas I've not. I need help in this, I need help in that. You know, Evelyn's the first to admit that. But there is living testimony why you need to keep hearing. And I think I've got the truth. I believe I've got the truth. So there is living proof why you need to keep hearing me. I should have said it earlier. There is living proof why you need to partner with me to produce more Evelines. That's good stuff. That is good stuff, Vic. That is good preaching. I wish I'd thought of that earlier. I'm going to finish with Genesis 11:6. This is no good hearing this and thinking, yeah, that's great, if you don't see it, if you don't believe it's going to come to pass. Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. If you can see something in your heart, if you can see something in your imagination, you can see it in the physical. If you can't see it in your heart, you will never, ever see it in the physical in a month of Sundays. And by that I mean infinity. You will never see it in the physical if you can't see it in your heart. I want you to get, not get in line with me, that doesn't sound right. Join with me in seeing this, Mary Grace Fellowship, as a big ministry. Join with me in seeing Healing Word Ministries as a big ministry. I'm not arrogant when I say this. Join with me and see my teaching influencing Scotland. See it. Man, let's forget about the O2. Let's have Hampden. Murrayfield. That'll do its start. Do we see MGF as a big church? Will you join? I was going to say, will you join with me and see me as a big preacher? But you can all see that. Will you see me as an influential teacher and preacher? See me teaching to thousands, connected to millions. See, that's my vision. I see it. And I'm going to keep seeing it. And I'm going to teach you till the cows come home. And it will change your life. If you keep hearing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So that was conference last week. It was really good. Not everybody that can go to the leadership conference, but everybody can go to this thing called Grace and Faith. It's a conference in Telford. It's great, isn't it? Yeah. G&F, do you love Grace and Faith, Lindsay? Yay. It's for everybody.
We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.